NADBF.
NADBF, this is K-E-A-R-U-H.
Good morning.
Good morning. How's traffic for you? I don't know what's going on up here, but it seems like I'm going to have a long ride in.
I don't know yet. I just turned onto the main road. I got to hit the gas station to get some caffeine, and then I'll be underway. But Apple Maps says my commute time is about the same.
Well, that's good. Mine's telling me, 10 minutes longer, which is weird.
I wonder if there's an accident. Give me 2 seconds. I'm running in the gas station.
All right, sounds good.
NADBF. All right, I'm back.
Quick trip. I guess nobody else is in the gas station at this time of morning, huh?
Nice, easy in and out. Pull up, jump out, go straight to the Red Bull fridge, grab my Red Bull. Tap to pay on the way out, and about, I don't know, 60 seconds, all said and done.
Nice. What's the weekend looking like? You gonna be able to get out there and sit, or what?
As of right now, Friday, I'm supposed to go smack a deer and then shoot some raccoons at the farm. And then I think we're going to probably shoot for Sunday afternoon as well. So if everything goes according to plan, I should get at least 2 sits this weekend.
Nice. I wanna go shoot raccoons with you, though. That sounds like fun.
It's a lot of fun. It's just not easy. You gotta hold a light or have a buddy hold a light while you're running the gun or vice versa. I don't have any more night vision or thermal, so I gotta do it the old school way.
I'm assuming that you at one point had a thermal?
Before I got super heavy into radio, I don't even think I was a general yet. I was Kyle hunting quite a bit, so I was running a 6.5 with a thermal. Before that, I was running night vision, so I did the things. They're a lot of fun, but the cost of going to bed at 3 o'clock in the morning, it wasn't worth it with young kids.
Not at all, man. What kind of night vision did you have? Just a night vision scope?
Yeah, I had a ATN, and then I had a sight mark, and after hunting with them for a bit, the sight mark was the better of the two and half the price, and then after hunting them with a bit, I realized thermal's the ticket, so then I bought an AGM Rattler, and that was it. I kind of just hit a point where I'm like, it was after a night of not getting a dog, and I just woke up the next morning and go, why am I doing this? So that was it. I sold it.
Yeah, I've never seriously looked at that stuff, but I know that stuff's expensive, and if you're not going to be using it, you don't want to let it sit around.
Yeah, I had like $4,000 wrapped up into the gun and the optic, and then I built my dad a 6 arc AR-15, and I think he's probably closer to, I don't know, I think he's about $9,000 or $10,000 into his setup, so it ain't cheap, and it's high stakes, and you're tired, and a lot of sacrifice to do it.
Yeah, if it was a little cheaper, and you could just justify it by getting out 4 or 5 times a year, but man, with that kind of money invested, you are definitely in it for the long haul, getting out, twice a week at that point.
And that's when I had a flexible schedule, too, so it was easy. And now it's like, hell no, because we go out during the week. You know, I'd wake up 8 o'clock to go to work, and it wasn't so bad because I was working from home, or I'd schedule my meetings for the afternoon, and now it's like, nuh-uh. So it's a good time. It's a lot of fun, but you need a lot of property to hunt. You got to drive a ton. You got to stay up late. The equipment's expensive. You know, my thermal optic alone cost more than my entire 705 POTA kit that I put together. Is there another station in there?
Yeah, I keyed up. I just was wondering what we're talking about. Coyotes?
Coyote hunting with thermal optics.
Roger. Oh, good morning.
Good morning. How are you doing this fine dark morning?
Pretty good. Car tells me it's 52, so a nice crisp morning. I think it might be a little warmer than that. Anywho, I will check on that microphone today, but like I said, those are the current standard issues, so whether I got one lying around or not, we'll have to see. I'll check. That could be both a good thing or a bad thing, depending on the situation, but I'll check and see.
Cool, thank you. Yeah, I assumed it was something that may not just be laying around, but I figured I'd ask. They are available to buy online, but if you had one laying around and it was excess, it would be cool. But yeah, over to you, Dakota.
I woke up this morning at like 5 a.m. with an antenna epiphany of how I want to mount a mast on my hitch. And then I was like, wait a minute, I can't use a mobile whip antenna without radials or a ground on a fiberglass mast. So now I'm kind of just pondering that on my way into work.
Right, right. Now I run grounding straps from my, you know, from the base of my antenna to the chassis of the vehicle when I do my, even with a metal trailer hitch, because I don't trust the friction of the receiver and other various parts and pieces to give me an adequate connection. So you can do that. I do that, and I usually put some studs in the chassis. I bolt them in, and then wing nuts, and I can real quick wing nut some ground straps. So you can do something like that, perhaps.
Dakota, I'm assuming you're talking about a HF antenna for your truck?
No, so I got that 40-foot spider beam, and I found a hitch mount for a flagpole that'll fit it. So I could slide that thing in, the hitch, and I'd have a portable 40-foot mast anywhere I went. And then I was like, well, what if I smack a 2-meter, 70-centimeter antenna on the top of that and only put it up 30 feet, run coax down it? Then I'd have all kinds of coverage, but then I was like, wait a minute, I need grounding radials. So I don't know how I'd do that. I guess I could get like something like an X50 or an X30, right, Sean, that's got the radials on it?
Yeah, I mean, if I understand what you want to do correctly, you want to put a VHF, UHF antenna up that 30 foot for fixed operation. Just use the mast and vehicle for a, because you got it. Yeah, you could do something like that. Get a base antenna, which doesn't require any of that. There are some mobile antennas that I think half waves and stuff that don't require. But yeah, you're best off probably doing a small base antenna of sorts. You can put radial kits on those. I believe. They're not that obnoxious.
Okay, Dakota, I'm intrigued. What is the use case for this setup? Or is it just to get it done, use it a few times, and say that it's a capability in your back pocket?
It's squirrel brain, and that A57 has just got it running on a wheel. No, I'm thinking along the lines of the ARF stuff with, you know, deployment and all that. I mean, talk about a sweet setup where you could go park wherever, throw that thing up, pull your radio out, and then there's, you know, you've got coverage. I already have the mast, I already have the truck. The mounts are dirt cheap, so it would literally just be figuring out the antenna, and then that would also serve the purpose of I could put my wire up at the same time.
Well, yeah, I might consider a small base antenna. But again, you could put a little like plate at the top, you know, with some the radios for VHF and UHF don't have to be, but they can be stiff, three of them stiff, and you know, 18 inches long or so. So you don't sound like you need. Yeah, I was thinking HF. You know, when I was talking about tagging into the underside of the chassis, but for that, yeah, you don't need much. So even if you took like a mobile antenna, 2x4 or something like that, you'd only have to, you know, just have two or three, you know, metal rods coming off of it. It's not that big a deal to fake a ground plane for VHF and UHF.
I would be curious if what would be heavier, a small base station antenna, like what would it be, like the Comet GP3, or which I think is like 3 feet, or with the setup for a 2x4, because that Comet's going to come with the radials and everything. So, I don't know. That'd be interesting to see that setup. Once you get it together, maybe I'll mimic it.
Like I was saying, I'm just racking my brain. I don't know if I'm going to do it, but I do have the mast, and I want something to mount it to the vehicle with anyway for portable operations. Just to, the ease of getting a wire up with those things is you can't beat it. So then I was like, well, what else can I do with it? And if I were to grab a base, it'd probably be like a Comet GP1. Those things are, I don't know, 16 or 18 inches. They're tiny, and I imagine they don't weigh much because once you get to the top 25%, top third of that mass, it starts to sway. Yeah, man.
Well, that's going to be your limiting factor. There is what the top of that mass can handle. A small base antenna like a GP, you know, 3 or one of the smaller diamonds would probably be the direction I'd be looking if it could support it. Morning, Joe. Go ahead.
Yeah, KU4ZYQ. Well, that's what I'm operating right now is a GP3 up in the attic. And knowing what it looks like and how it doesn't move a whole lot, because it's only about 5 feet tall with the three radials. And if you're going to do a deployment, I would suggest that that's a great antenna. It doesn't have much resistance to a lot of wind or anything. But definitely a great antenna. I've been happy with it. I don't know if it goes over to Dakota, but good morning to all, KU4ZYQ.
I'll hop in real quick. Yeah, those comments are great. I have a GP6 on top of my house. Over to you, Dakota.
I've always been partial to Comet over Diamond. Diamond antennas on all my HDs, specifically the Romeo Hotel 519. I don't know why, but I love that antenna. Yeah, no, it's kind of, I don't know, just spitballing, thinking about what I could do with that thing, because I saw it in the basement the other day. I'm like, I forgot I had that.
So, I mean, you got a vehicle, right? And presumably the vehicle's got antennas on it already. You're just looking to get an improvement, like for when you're towed out or something. You just want to get a little bit get it up a little bit higher and get a little bit more oomph. Because you know you're gonna be in your mobile where you're presumably have antennas, right? You can comment on that when it comes back around. I guess Joe, if you got anything else, otherwise Anthony.
Yeah, KU4GYQ. Well, I got a question. If you're going to do a POTA, don't forget, if you're going to be stationary and you're not talking about being mobile, moving around, driving, you could make a slight little platform with a mass connection with a lightweight PVC and elevate a Comet GP3 and put one of those things under your wheel, you know. Take and put the platform that your tire sits on that holds the mast, that holds it still, and then you just mount a little slip-on PVC with your Comet GP3 on top, just a few hand-cranked wing nuts to connect your antenna baby platform to your post, your mast, and you're all set in minutes. Over to Anthony.
I will throw it to Dakota. I am pulling up at the office, so I will listen out, and I will catch up with you gentlemen later. This will be my last turn in the roundtable here. Everybody have a great morning. This is KE8RUH.
See you later, Anthony. Sean, yeah, that's a valid point, and probably not going to gain a whole lot from the 2x4 on my truck to, you know, an extra 15, 20 feet from a separate instance, other than if I'm not in my truck or wanted a completely independent kit. So, yeah, I don't know. And, yeah, Joe, I was looking at those two, the drive-on mast mounts. Those are also pretty inexpensive. They'll fit my mast. Problem is the fiberglass mast, you got to be careful what you put on top. So, you know, it's meant to hold a light wire or a very light antenna, so that's why I'm looking at the GP1 or the X30 or, you know, those sub, I don't even think they weigh a pound. But yeah, as far as POTA, I got a wire for that. That's the same reason I like the mass, quick and easy.
I'm a huge fan of wire. I mean, you can get a resonant antenna up, and it's not too hard to get one up 30 feet or so, and they play really well. It's not a compromise. You know, most antennas for POTA, like verticals and things and all that, are all a compromise of sorts. But a wire, if you can get it up, you know, 30 foot or so, that's not a real compromise. That's a damn good antenna. And you're getting, you know, especially when you're running lower power levels, you know, like QRP stuff, you really want to make sure all the snot you got's getting to the feed point. You know, tuners just send it up, you know, burn it up in heat and safely, but that's what they do. And, you know, you get some fraction of your antenna to your lousy, and you know, some fraction of your power to your lousy antenna. Whereas, you know, with the wire, you get all of your power to a quality antenna. Big difference. But yeah, as far as the drive-on mast, you know, you've got the trailer hitch one, so you know you've already got that covered. And just really be a matter of whether you think that extra 15 feet would you know, be worth the effort for the VHF, UHF stuff. Certainly worth it for the wire. That's no question there. But, you know, now you go the other route, and you just get that ATAS and put that on there, use the vehicle antennas for VHF, UHF, and use, like, some sort of a trailer hitch mount or a stake bed mount for the ATAS. Now you've got a real, it's resonant because, you know, it's an ATAS, but, you know, it's vertical. But you got plenty of vehicle to work against. So there's a lot of ways to go. You're just going to have to think it out, figure out what you want to do, right?
Hey, guys, KE4GYQ. Last night, I don't know if you heard me say on another frequency this morning, talking to some guys going to work. Last night, I was on the Mount Clements 147.200.2, and I was just listening, and all of a sudden, Ohio station comes in. So I tried to check in, thinking they were another station on the same frequency. It actually was 147.195, and they told me their PL and their actual frequency, because I was off frequency due to the R repeater here. And it's down in Ohio, this net they had last night, late at night, about 11, W-A-U-S-E-O-N, Wuson, between Fort Wayne and Toledo, somewhere in there between, on I-90 rather. And got into their net last night, 96 miles away with the attic antenna. Good propagation. Over to you, Dakota.
Hey, DBF. 2 meters is doing crazy stuff. Greg and I did a mock repeater crawl when he got his 9700 online, and I could not believe what I was able to bounce around with my GP3 in the attic and a 50-watt mobile. They do some work. And, yeah, Sean, ATAS is on my list for sure. Probably down the road, maybe when it's cold. I don't feel like getting out of the truck. I'll just get another Breedlove mount, run some more coax on the truck, and take it on and off. Just a lot of money for an antenna, mobile antenna at least. And I totally forgot, too, that I bought a Slim Jim, a roll-up Slim Jim, last year, I think. Can't remember who the make is. Pretty popular one. I think it's only rated for 10 watts, but should be more than enough to do what I want to do. I can always throw that up on the mast and test it, see if it's even worth pursuing.
Yepers. Well, hey, you know what? It's half the fun. I know for you in particular, you know, getting these types of setups all going, that's part of the fun. And that's, you know, that's what I've always said is, you know, I like the gear and getting it all working and all this stuff. My interest wanes a little bit after I've got everything all, you know, a lot of people, once they get it all working perfectly, that's when they can start enjoying it. For me, getting it working all perfectly, that's the enjoyment. Working it afterwards is like, whatever. So, I know you really enjoy just getting all these things together and getting them all working and stuff like that, so just take your time and think it out and look for alternatives. You know, wires are great, man, for deployment. I'm a huge fan, and I always carry a wire, a little wire antenna in my go kit. You know, and then just something to pull it up and over a branch. And because you know it's going to work, and you know it's going to work well, and you know it's going to give you every bit of, you know, advantage that you need for that little 705. So that's, if I'm bugging out with a 705, there's usually some sort of a wire in the kit. And a resonant wire at that, you know, I can roll it out for whatever band I want and just, yeah, hike it up a tree. So, anywho, let me jump in here and grab my coffee and... and Joe is, yeah, you know, when it gets real crisp like it's gotten here, you know, those ducts really get set up and they get down into the VHF range. UHF gets a lot of ducting. VHF, not quite as often, but, yep, Wasion. I know the town well. I have relatives that live just north of there in Tecumseh, Muncie area, and they run down into Wasion all the time to grocery shop and whatnot. And also there's a motorcycle show I go to down there regularly. I haven't been in a couple of years, but they have an antique motorcycle show that I really enjoy. So quite familiar with Wasion. And that's a good clip on VHF.
Yeah, I went on Google Earth and actually found the city and mapped it as the crow flies to my location, literally. And it came out just 95 point something, almost 96 miles away as the crow flies. But when Sean gets back in his coffee, whatever, there, Dakota, I just got to pick you guys' mind. I want to hook up my 7250 Azu mobile unit in-house like I had before. But I got a Tech Power power supply with the post in the back with the plastic knob, you know, in the post connector, positive, negative. I want to find a connector I can put on the power line from that radio to put it on that post to be a little more, you know, a little more secure and safer, because I'm just wrapping the wire, trying to push the wire into a U-shape around that knob that you tighten it up with, is just not buying it anymore. I'm not liking it. So if you got any ideas like Harbor Freight or any place that has connectors big enough to supply for the power line that you'd put in a car, you know, or on a radio power supply here, I'd like to find some good connectors, because what I got is a little bit too small. Back to you.
Yeah, just go to Ace Hardware or AutoZone, Advance Auto Parts, O'Reilly's, whatever. I would bring the cap, the plastic cap, if it threads off. I'd take that with you so you know the diameter. And I would take the wire so you know the right gauge, or just remember the gauge. And go get yourself a ring terminal or a fork terminal, and you'll slide that right over or in it if it's a fork, and then you just tighten it down. That's what I do on those. Fortunately, the power supply right now I have is power poles. So I try to, I do standardize. Everything's going to be power poles. But, yeah, that's my recommendation. Get some ring terminals. It'll work great. I'm in a similar boat. I have to use F2 connectors, though, they're called. They're like the tab ones that slide on. I just ordered a Dakota Lithium battery that's got those little tabs on it, because it's one of the dinky ones. And, I got the same thing. I got a whip, a power pole whip that has just bare wire on it, so I got to adapt it.
Whip it good. I'm back, but I need a minute to get back in rotation. Go ahead, Joe.
Yeah, Dakota, well, what's really odd is I didn't think of AutoZone. You know, when they use the term AutoZone, I don't think about electronic connectors like that, but yeah, I may check that, let alone Ace. That's not far out from me here, so. Yeah, I got to get some, because I got to check this radio out. They actually changed the whole front of the radio due to the LED that went dim on the display, let alone the radio not working from Yaesu. Boy, that place in California gets a workout if you have a Yaesu radio for service, because it's the only one in the country out in California. But that 7250, that you got 1, 2, 3, and 4 as an adjustment for the display lighting. Mine was on 4, and it was, like, dim, very dim. So instead of changing the LED, they just changed the whole face of the radio. I don't feel bad about that. Over you, Dakota, and then back to Sean.
Yeah, be thankful they fixed anything. They make me nervous, especially the couple radios I got. I hope they hold up, because I'm afraid to ship them in. I don't think anything will get done, but I'm glad they took care of you. But yeah, check out those ring terminals. Bring the plastic cap so you know the diameter. If you don't want it too loose, bring your remember your power supply wire gauge to get the right size, and should be all you need. Go ahead, Sean.
Yeah, I've never dealt with Yaesu service, but I've dealt with ICOM a few times, and that specifically that SAR in Benton Harbor right here in Michigan, and he's fantastic, and I think he's authorized, you know, he's ICOM's actual service center. You can send it to them directly up there in somewhere in Spokane or something up in the Pacific Northwest, but they have this SAR guy in Benton Harbor, Michigan as a, you know, bona fide authorized ICOM service center, and he's great. I've had nothing but good things to say about him, and as far as I heard Joe saying something about trying to get power supply connections or something. I wasn't quite following what that was all about, but I know Dakota, myself, everybody else, power pole connectors. You know, you figure out whatever you got to do to your power supply. And I'm sorry if this is not related to what you're saying, but you figure out whatever you got to do to get your connections to your power supply once, and then power pole it, and then from there on out, you just use power poles and connect up to that one piece. So, but you may be talking about something completely different, Joe. I'm not sure. I kind of half heard what you were saying.
Oh, that's okay. Yeah, any suggestion whatsoever, KU4CYQ. I got the original wire, power wires to from the Yaesu 7250D, and they're pretty thick wire, you know, with a lot of strands of wire on the end where the connection is. And all my connectors, you can solder or crimp on the end of that for connecting to your power supply in the house, are too small, so I got to get one big enough to handle the wire gauge, but also connect to the power supply like Dakota was talking about, to make sure if it's one that I have to cap what size it is, so it actually makes a connection, not just goes over the pole, but makes a connection. So it's kind of a thing, you know, you try to enjoy the journey of getting things accomplished, but I like when things are done. A little bit unlike what you were talking about, Sean, of working things out as a fun, you know, kind of working on it. But once I get this power supply hooked up, I'll just have it in place and it'll be working, hopefully. But yeah, I got to check some places and get the right gauge. And yeah, taking the wire there, Dakota, is a smart idea, and the cap off the back of the power supply so they know what the diameter is. Over to you, Dakota.
Like Sean said, though, if you're willing to spend the money and standardize on power poles, it's the best thing you'll ever do because everything will be the same. Your batteries will be interchangeable. Your cables will be interchangeable. It makes sense. I picked up a radio from Sean. The first thing I did was put power poles on it, and it's like a therapeutic obsession of terminating cable with power poles. I heat shrink them. I make sure they're stripped perfectly. I crimp them on there. I roll pin them, I put a boot on them, like, it's the way to go, in my opinion. I think it's kind of the standard. I think that's why Bioleno standardizes on it. That's worth looking into, but if you're just trying to do this one and done, the ring terminal is going to be the easiest way to go. It'll be dirt cheap, it'll be a couple bucks, you get a whole bunch of them. Another thing to consider, too, depending on the power supply, I know a lot of those thumb studs, they'll have a pass-through for a ferrule where you can put the wire in. You can put a ferrule on it and crimp that down, and then you slide it in and then tighten it down on it. So you'll get the same result either way, but I think the ring terminals are going to be a little more secure and probably a little easier to deal with.
Yeah, Sean might be working traffic there and hopefully didn't spill his coffee. KE4ZYQ. Yeah, I'll have to look at see what the best way. Yeah, power pole connectors would be nice. Just a matter of getting the power supply rigged up the right way so you can just plug everything in the same. But now I have to figure that out because I'm dying to check out this radio. And these will be the last Yaesu radios I might buy. Might have to go to ICOM if I ever buy another one in the future. Have three radios and all of them have go out eventually over time and not due to SWR or anything else or any kind of electrical issue from outside. No electrical storms or anything. But, yeah, everybody and their brother has had a 991A, except for one so far, supposedly, has had to send theirs back once, if not twice.
It is unfortunate. I hear way more issues with Yaesu than I do with even the Chinese radios. I've got a VX6R that's been rock solid. I've got an FP60 that's rock solid. Sean knows how much I hate the FP5. My FTM-150 has been good, knock on wood. I had an FTM-500 that was a lemon. I've had two 891s, both of them were fine. And my 710, I love that radio. So, you know, it's hit or miss. I don't have a ton of use on the 710, and I didn't have a ton of use on the 891. My first one was used, though, so that one, I imagine, got used quite a bit, and I did a lot of POTA with it, and it was totally fine. So, I don't know. I don't know if it's the older radios that, you know, have some issues, or I know the 991A has been plagued since it came out. But, yeah, it's hard. I was looking at that new Yaesu radio that just came out for an ungodly amount of money, and I just don't think I could ever gamble on that money with Yaesu.
I just transitioned to the Cisco in the office. Sorry. Parking lot is a zoo here, so I got preoccupied trying to find a place to park.
Yeah, Sean, well, that's good to know that you didn't fall off the end of the earth, but no need to apologize by any means. Yeah, you got to do what you got to do. Well, I appreciate the input on the connectors and all, and gives me a little more perspective on what I can and should do or have an option to do, and nice to get that worked out so I can actually check out the radio. I'm dying to check it out, and I've yet to ever program a radio, Dakota or Sean, with a computer. And the Yaesu 7250D has got 199 free memory banks, and the 991A's got 99. And I've done all the radios I had by manually putting them in one by one, and, you know, doing them periodically, put a new one in if the banks aren't full or there's an open one. Just like the one last night in Ohio, I put that one in, so in case they ever talk or that time of night, as they said, might be able to talk to them again. You never know, propagation. Over to you, Dakota.
Yeah, you'll have to let us know what you came out with. Like Sean said, it's my favorite part of radio in general is just tinkering with stuff and figuring out what's going to work, what's not, and trying new things. I get bored when everything works too good. I think that's why I buy and sell so much crap, because I'm like, oh, now what? There's certain things that I just expect to be rock solid, work all the time. You know, my clear note, my open spot, a couple of my HDs, like my Kenwood, my Anytone, they just need to work when I want them to work. But as far as HF, I'm all for, you know, my favorite part about HF is new antennas and new gear. But on that note, I'm at the office. I'm going to clear out of here, and hopefully we've got a decent time again, so maybe I'll catch you guys this afternoon. Everyone have a good day. NADBF.
Yep, 7-3 there, Dakota. Don't know if you're still there, but I just waited a little bit. KU4ZYQ going to be clear, and QSY.
KF8CZZ monitoring.
Hey, DLA, it's mobile.
W8RJD Mobile.
WRO KCKGO, get me out there.
KNFU.
KTR.
Did I hear AB8PR? This is KD8 to that SK.
KPR. Who is that?
This is Kilo Delta 8 Zulu Sierra Kilo. Keith, and I'm mobile on Mound Road in Warren, Michigan.
Oh, hi Keith. It's Phil with a new call. Formerly AB8PR.
Is that Phil, like ABHPR, that's got the new call?
Yep, Kilo 8 Papa Radio.
Kilo 8 Papa Radio. All right, very good. How are you holding up anyway? It's been a while.
Yeah, pretty good. Got a new challenge going on. I got to get some surgery on Monday from my cervical spine area.
Oh my, all right. Well, I hope that goes well. Attention to the doctors. I know that's their complaint. Patients don't do what they're told. But in any case, I hope that goes well. And, we haven't had the 500 or the 600 in the repeater crawl lately. It just hasn't been a need, but every once in a while there's an inquiry. I don't know how you feel about that.
Well, we kind of, we're not that in favor of it, because this is a network of repeaters, and it tends to tie things up, so I prefer not to. I don't know if you're aware of it, but the .5 is going down tomorrow morning for a while until we relocate.
Yeah, I think that was Sean making that plan, and yeah, that's okay. Yeah, you know, we're only there 10 minutes, so I never understood why there's a couple now that have had some major hang-up with it, but yeah, we limit ourselves to 10 minutes at any repeater, and then, you know, that seems to be okay with most everybody.
Yeah, I understand, but kind of, well, whatever. I mean, if I were to do it, I'd have to probably disconnect from the network. But anyways, it's like I said, my repeater is going to be down for a while. We're losing our site.
Yeah, that's okay. That's why I've been leaving it out. It's usually, you know, the guys probably that ask, right? They're all, you know, northeast corner or north. So they're like, why don't you include the? And it's like, well, because we got, like, you know, kicked out once. But I don't know. It's I know it's difficult because you want to disconnect them too. So that's all there is really on that. Boy, it's a beautiful day out. Have you been outside at all? It's nice.
Yeah, outside right now. Running some errands after lunch.
Okay, yeah, very good. I'm trying to go home, but there's far too many cars on the road right now this time of day, so it's always a slow roll. I'm going 19 miles an hour on 696. 696 with 19 mile an hour traffic.
Yeah, that's always an issue these days, you know. Let's see, I think I'm where I'm going. I gotta stop someplace here. So I'll catch you later, Keith. Nice hearing you again. So this is K8PR73.
All right, very good. K8PR. I'll try and get used to that. But yeah, good to hear you. Hang in there, man. There's a lot more good weather days coming. We just may have to wait a little while. So, good luck at your destination. 7:30 from KD8 ZSK in the mobile.
That sounded like PDSK, KD4ZYQ.
KD4ZYQ, that sounds like Joe. Go ahead there, Joe.
Bad connection on this repeater here. Barely got you. Got you about a 3 to 4 over 0. Roger.
Yeah, I copied just fine. I believe that because that's a long way off, and I'm way down in the gullies of 696.
Which one are you on, Joe? You should be getting them perfect. Yeah, especially on this repeater, at least with me. But yeah, this is like the repeater call at 70 centimeters. Zero. You get like a 5 over 0. That's not too bad.
Yeah, that's true. 5 over 0 is not too bad. Was there another station in there? Go ahead. This is KD8ZSK in the mobile, trying to figure out if I can get home today.
Yeah, hey, it's Sean. W8FU. Anyhow, I'm hearing you perfect, so I just didn't know if Joe was maybe on the wrong repeater or something like that, but okay, I've got to find my turn here. I'm supposed to be looking for somewhere here. I don't want to get lost. Anyhow, I will turn it back over to you, gentlemen. Say good afternoon. Now I'm on the right one. 5 over 9, or actually 60 over, KE4GYQ. Back to you, Keith. Hello, Sean. Yeah, I thought you were probably picking them up on one of the distant repeaters there. So, okay, I'll let you guys go. Connect up again. Good hearing everybody. I'll be back later. I've got to figure out where the heck I'm going here. Should have been paying attention. I think I missed my turn. W8F.
Alrighty, Sean. Safe travels, okay? Hope you get to your destination just fine. And thanks for jumping in. Good to hear you again. Sorry I've been so distant. Haven't been out to the Interop conference in a while. Been letting others take a swing at it. All right. 7-3 to Sean. Joe, I think it's over to you. And gosh, I'm up to almost 40 miles an hour now on the 696.
Yeah, I actually came through the Romeo repeater. Now I'm on the Mount Clements, the KCAUUP, I think it is.
Yeah, I don't know that one that well, but all good if you found a better connection there. It's a beautiful day outside, so if you get a chance to Gaucho, it's a good day to get some vitamin D and enjoy the great outdoors.
Yep, KD4ZYQ. Well, that was my plan earlier until I had to do a phone call, and now that traffic's coming out on the roads and all the people coming home from work or whatever, I don't want to add to the congestion today at this time, so I'll have to wait till another day to do my errands that I was going to do after a phone call that didn't turn out as good as I thought, but I think it's going to be okay. But, yeah, this repeat, I got you at 5960 over. That's not too bad.
Yeah, that sounds a little better. And then, yeah, just go for a walk. Don't worry about the driving. Just go for a walk. Go stand out on the front porch.
I hear you. Yeah, last Monday I got 2.5 hours of sunshine, just literally being outside right in the sun. Soaking up the vitamin D and fresh air and birds and beautiful day. And came inside, did some exercises and physical therapy without having to wait for a therapist. Just did it myself. Back to you.
Hey, all good, all good. I'm going for therapy at 5 o'clock too. It's called Muay Thai. That's going to be my therapy. It's good for all the joints and the core and balance and the ambidextrousness and all that stuff there.
Ah, so the rumors of you being a ninja is true. Okay. Doing a Tai Chi or something. Yeah, there you go.
Wednesday is pun and chicken and boy tie. So, yeah, that's my Wednesday. It's my Wednesday therapy. Feels good to kick something once in a while, you know?
Well, I kind of do that, but it's by accident, like kicking a leg of a table by accident, or foot of a bed, or a chair that you walk by. Try not to do that all the time on purpose, either.
Yeah, that's the same, only different. The stuff I kick is on purpose. And I'm trying to think what else is going on. The construction continues out here, but it is... different than like I would suggest they do it. I don't know anything about it, but they spread out over such wide areas and mess things up over such wide areas. And then they put a few trucks out and they work on a small area. And it's like, why don't you just keep like working on the small areas and inching forward? Every day we've just got one area of construction restraints, and it's where you're working. You know, but instead, no, they shut down stuff here for miles, miles and miles. So it's very interesting. And they've got barrels everywhere on the way to work and on the way home. I think they got the state paying like a monthly fee on barrels on the roadway. There's got to be a money incentive for all the barrels that are put out.
ZYQ. Well, they should incorporate some sort of benefit to all those barrels besides just being there. They should make them some kind of a solar collector and transmit energy to something, to their machinery or to mobile cars with battery capability of charging their battery or something. Those barrels should be better than just some visual help.
And this is KDHZSK Mobile. Yeah, they use them down in the Davison for practice, I think. Target practice with your bumper, because there's somebody that now several times has just mowed down dozens of those things. It's really crazy how they do that. I don't know if they've got an old truck they don't care about or what, but they'll just run down bunches of those cones. There'll be bits and pieces of them laying all over the roadway.
So don't know if anything's new with you. I missed the last several repeater crawls. Just things going on at the time, but I think I caught a piece of the last one, listening, that is. And still a lot of good involvement there. That's good. It's going on.
Yeah, we're still running in. New people checking in, so that's good. Some of the old hands are still checking in, so that's good. Been trying to run them a little shorter, so that's good. Been having some fun with it, changed some things around, tried some new things. I like trying new things. We'll see. Didn't get any feedback on the last new thing, so wait and see if anybody noticed the new thing. Well, you know, just nobody said anything. Maybe they're just being polite, so we'll see.
Well, Keith, talking about the repeater crawl and doing simplex on it. A couple nights ago, I was scanning my radio frequencies while I was watching TV at 11 o'clock in the evening. And on the Mount Clements repeater, some people come in with a net, but it wasn't the Mount Clements repeater. It was the Wausau, Ohio repeater, well, just below Toledo, Wausau. And they had their net, but their frequency was, 147.195 instead of 200.200, which is Mount Clements one. So I got the right frequency for them, saying, I hear somebody, but he's off frequency. So they gave me the right frequency of PL and talked to 96 miles away down there with the attic antenna into their repeater. Talk about propagation, right?
Yeah, Joe, you told us that whole thing this morning. It was early. Maybe you don't recall, but yeah. Yep, we heard all that this morning on the drive-in. And, yeah, I said, you know, the propagation's been great on 2 meter the last couple weeks. Remember that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you, Green David, yep. I just thought I'd bring it up again for the sake of talking about the repeater crawl and the simplex that you exercise, you know, to get who hears who and all that. That's still amazing that happened.
Yeah, so the simplex exercises have been good too. We've been playing with that. The repeaters have all been pretty good. There's a couple of things we ran into, but yeah, there's not really much new. Everybody's just doing what they do. And we had the simulated emergency test on Saturday. That went pretty well. I think the other counties all participated. Up by you, Macomb should have been pretty active. Did you participate in the Macomb simulated emergency test on Saturday?
Yep, KE4ZYQ, leaving a little space there. Yep, definitely did, from 7 in the morning till 1 in the afternoon, or 1:15 or whatever. I started off on battery backup power from 7 and continued to check in, and I did base station, no remote or even simulated remote deployment. They did pretty good. They had a lot of participants and good control station, and it turned out good. The only thing that was highly recommended, and I recommended a couple of times, is anybody checking in, remote especially, should always say their call sign slowly and phonetically. That way, during a real incident, it won't be able to repeat things over and over. Back to you.
Yeah, that makes sense. We try and practice that on Wednesdays, and then the related thing is that part of the simulated emergency test was to practice even tactical call signs. So I don't know how much they did with the tactical call signs. We tried a little bit, and that worked for a while.
N8WRO.
Got you in there, N8WRO. Good afternoon, or I think it's still afternoon, yeah. Yeah, it turned out good. It turned out pretty good, though. Mike did a great job. Everybody involved did a good job. N8WRO, go ahead, take it. Pass it over to Keith from KE4ZYQ.
Good afternoon, Joe and Keith. This is Tim in Richmond, and one of the AEPs here. And Keith, I know we spoke before. Joe, we had fun on Saturday. It worked out fairly good. We did try to use some tactical call signs, but, we got 50 for our county in front. Like, for example, Joe is 16, so he'd be unit 50-16. I'm 10, so 50-10, and so on and so forth. But kind of like you, I don't think we did a whole bunch of that. But, you know, we tried it for a shot. Over to Keith.
Yep, I can see that. The ones that make the most sense for us is, like, if we put somebody in an EOC, because we can say, like, Livonia EOC, Canton EOC. And that's what we do with our EOC testing a lot of times. And sometimes with the EOC testing, we'll link up with a hospital, too. So we can say things like, Canton EOC, how copy St. Mary's in Livonia. And anyway, but you always got to, close that up in 10 minutes with the real call sign anyway. But, in a quick-acting communication kind of system, I could see where tactical call signs could get things connected pretty quickly between a couple of different points. Joe, over to you from KD8ZSK, still mobile.
KD4ZYQ, returner. Well, Joe, I'm just wondering, do you know from the whole set and the exercise, was I, other than the EOC or whatever, was I the only one on auxiliary power, or was there others that checked in with it?
I don't have the exact score sheet, but I checked in with the simulated emergency power. I know you actually had it, Joe. I had mine ready, set to go. It has been tested, so I went ahead and simulated emergency power for the shack. But then again, I didn't want to actually have it on because my job was to run up to Memphis to pick up another member, and we had a two-man car for the exercise in the north part of the county. So, but yeah, no, it was definitely you and I for sure. There was some debate. I never got around to it if we could get a repeater on emergency power, but and it might be a bridge too far, but at least for this one, maybe the spring, we'll see how it goes. Hoping to join the net tonight, Steve. For the last couple of weeks, just no propagation up to Richmond. If I can't hear you, I'm not going to transmit. So hopefully tonight it'll be a little bit better. It should be, I hope. NHWRO over to KDZSK.
All right, NHWRO. You know, yeah, sometimes the bands are helping us. So, yeah, give it a try. You know, that net's at 9. And then the other thing is we had talked about doing, but we didn't execute it. I'm not exactly sure why. We talked about doing a NTS traffic net because we tried to do NTS traffic on our main net in the spring SCT, and everybody suggested is move that off to its own net. Let them transact the communication they need to, and then come back to the resource net. But for some reason, we didn't do a spin-out to an NTS traffic net. I guess because we didn't get a request, or we didn't send out a request back. KDZSK over to ZYQ Gil. I think that's where it's gone.
Yep, you are right there, Keith. This is KE4ZYQ. Yeah, Tim, that's good. Yeah, I thought they said they'd get extra points for running off backup power, which I did, like I said, literally, which you know. I try to do it at least once, if not twice a month. I'll run my whole rig all day if I'm home working on the radio, listening, transmitting, talking, whatever. I want to exercise the battery, make sure it works and everything else. And I've done that many times where I run it from, whatever, 10 in the morning till 6 in the evening, you know, and I'm not transmitting the whole time, obviously, but at least running it, listening, talking, interacting, and a lot of times I'll use maybe about 10% of the battery, even though it's solar charging at the same time, so that's not too bad for that many hours. Over to NAWRO from KE4ZYQ.
Yeah, Joe, and a couple of preset QSOs we had, I was going to remind you, but then I figured I won't have to remind you. I know you simulate emergency power. I looked at the scoring scheme, and of course we did get credit for it. But I have a little joke here, Keith. I think it's in good taste. How many mathematicians did you have on calculating that? Oh, that was fun. Over to you.
WAROI and myself went ahead and tabulated everything and sent it in via Winlink, and then we were done. So what we were really trying to do with this one is get WROI some experience of running the SETs, because I've been doing them now for years, and wanted to try, you know, giving somebody else a chance to organize and operate and that kind of stuff. And Roy did a fine job, so what we have is, you know, some things we probably need to review and improve upon, but, you know, I'm realizing, too, you can't just empower somebody. You gotta prepare them and empower them. So, yeah, next one will be even better, and maybe I won't run it either. Maybe it'll be Roy. Anyway, back to Joe from KD8ZSK in the mobile.
Yeah, Tim, you sound like you might be a jokester after my own heart. I like to throw stuff out where people either laugh or groan. But you got to do that to get away from reality sometimes, or seriousness, not reality, but seriousness. Yeah, it's good to have a little joke once in a while. But everybody's out there hamming it up. Hi. Over to you, Tim.
Yeah, every now and then, when we're not actually doing something serious, you know, like training and that. But yeah, I remember that Keith, on one of a couple of nets ago, you announced that, and I go, wow, that's a big one. Handing it off to an AEC, so very good. I'm not quite there yet myself, but a couple of people I work with, we had John, he was our net controller, KE8WUO, and John is doing an outstanding job. We kind of dubbed him our IT person, so sort of getting a little organization here and still doing the postcard recruitment, so we're up to 28 active. I actually literally did get a Coast Guard person in, a radio operator from the Coast Guard in, auxiliary. So he's got, I think, OXCOM training as well as a whole bunch of the ICS courses. So that one's a good one. So, over to you, Keith.
Hey, great work on pulling in the Coast Guard, too. We've got a Coast Guard auxiliary, like, commander or assistant commander or something like that in our group, too, KE8COI. And so we've been trying to do some kind of, like, you know, cross-learning from the different organizations, and in fact, we're going to have a guest speaker coming up here at one of the future meetings from Coast Guard. So, yeah, very good, very good. It's like some preparedness, right? Always ready. Joe, over to you from KD8ZSK Mobile.
Yeah, KE4ZYQ in the group. Yeah, we're talking about radios and ham radios. I don't feel too bad with people saying, well, too bad you couldn't live in a house where you got an outside antenna. I says, nope, I don't worry about weather, snow, ice, wind, none of that stuff. And if it affects my antenna, I'm in deeper trouble than that antenna. I'd have it in my attic. Over to you, Tim.
You know, Joe, I keep on thinking about that. We're done for the season. I hope I don't jinx this, but the Sky Warren should be over with. But when we light up the Skywarn net and we all are on our radios and I'm thinking about my antenna high on the roof, right on the roof, I don't know, I'd almost rather have it in the attic. Somehow there might be, yeah, you still could lose equipment if you get a direct strike, but somehow, some way it seems like that. But yeah, Keith, our guy is Kilo Echo 8 Z Romeo India. I believe he's just a radio officer is what he said. I don't see you got the higher ranking there, but I love the cross exposure between two types of communicators, so to speak. I think that's a good thing. We can learn from him. He can learn from us, perhaps. We'll see how it goes. But I'm happy that our roster keeps on continuing to grow. We have a few legacy members coming back. So that's all in all a good deal. Over to you, Steve.
Hey, Tim, that's great news. Absolutely great news. I'm happy to hear that. And, you know, there's enough work to work on. The other thing that's kind of unifying right now for us is the District 2 Auxiliary Communicator Position Task Book. So I don't know how you guys are doing with that, but we're working on it, you know, monthly, you know, and doing sign-offs and getting everybody going on that. So we got that going on for the position task book. And the next thing up looks like the Michigan Volunteer Registry. So should be all good. Should be all good. Joe, over to you from KD8ZSK.
Yeah, one thing too, Tim, during the exercise, I have several radios here for monitoring other sites or other people, other repeater or net controllers. And I totally forgot about monitoring through my phone if the internet's accessible, statewide one or statewide two radio communications. So I forgot about that till after it was all done. But you guys both should know what a ham radio operator's favorite holiday is, and that would be Field Day. Over to you, Tim.
Well, that's likely actually true, Joe. So I like that one. But yeah, we did use the event one. We did get permission, and it worked well until we had a simulated outage. But that's a whole other story for another time. But yeah, he's got, so let's see, Dave, Mike, myself, and one of our members. We're all level 2. So the others are, of course, working, are level 1s and working towards it, or pre-level, and, you know, working towards level 1. So we got that. Of course, the FCC is down now, so for the time being, which means those ICS classes, our guys are having trouble getting their documentation. It's all frozen, but that's hopefully just you know, a short period of time, relatively short, hopefully. So, over to you, Keith.
Hey, that's great news, right? You got people working on it, and it's, like I said, it's another unifying activity. You know, let's everybody learn from each other. We've had some great discussions. I had a guy just try and hit me. What are you thinking, dude?
KE4ZYQ in the group. Well, Tim, I don't know if you mentioned it. If you did, I forgive me if I didn't hear it, but how many people participated in Macomb County? If you, off the top of your head, if you remember approximately how many were involved, but it seemed pretty good. A lot of people simulated or literally deployed, which was good. Obviously, I did what I normally would do if it was during a bad month, and the scenario was what it was set to be, you know, with the weather and all. I would be here, so I did what I would be doing here. Over to you, Tim.
Yeah, Joe, I think I can remember, we both checked in to Sunday night StateNet. Max was running the StateNet Sunday. So I remember you were in and out, Joe, but yeah, it was 27 deployed this time. And if I remember correctly, the SpringNet we had 14. So we definitely did good on numbers. And Keith, just like you said, it's always a learning, you know. We got this, that, and the other, and of course we just want to improve. And that's the whole reason we're doing it, right? Is we'll see what we can do for spring of 2026. But hey, let's just take a little bit of a break, you know, for us, and maybe Dave's got some good ideas moving forward as far as doing some local stuff. Maybe, you know, we don't have statewide, but we might get some local training, you know, just kind of, you know, hashing out, you know, the pros and cons. What went wrong? You know, this drill. You've been doing it long enough, and what we could fix there. But the DOCs are having the county DOC here. That was a big win for us. So we believe we'll probably be getting invited. I don't want to speak too early, but hopefully for each set coming forward, we'll get back to the DOC. Some of the guys were quite impressed when they got in there and saw what we have. NAWRO, over to Keith.
Yeah, that's a big win, a very big win on the EOCs. We have not gotten that support on Saturdays, typically. So it's just not there with Wayne County. They're not working on Saturday unless it's an actual emergency. Or maybe if it was a drill and it was their drill, but it's not their drill, and therefore, no, it just didn't happen. Joe, over to you from KD8SK in the mobile.
Yeah, KD4ZYQ. Well, guys, I don't know if you're familiar with it, just for curiosity's sake, but there is a group of repeaters from almost the one length of the Florida to the bottom to the top. And it's a SARnet, and they link a bunch of repeaters for emergency preparedness, you know, hurricanes, whatever. Whenever they activate, which I've heard periodically once in a while, I've listened on the broadcastified transmission through the Internet, if it's available, and which it is, and listen to their connection. Boy, do they got a connection, just like Tennessee did when I lived there. They had a connection across the Tornado Alley between Kentucky, Tennessee, Mississippi, northern Mississippi, and Missouri and Arkansas. They had a whole net of repeaters and people down there. Pretty organized. Over to you, Tim.
Yeah, I'm quite intrigued by MCOM in general, just any topics in that area. And, Joe, you know what? I think a while back, I suggested I was going to, I know you're home deployed, Skywarn trained, and you're certainly on our roster. So I think I was going to send you the latest roster, as long as I get your permission by U.S. Mail. I have your mailing address. And then also throw in a task book. I'm not sure if you have a task book. You're not obligated for it for your, you know, your type of deployment, but I figured you could look it over. And you can respond to that when it comes around to you. I'll send it over to Keith.
Yeah, I mean, that's the right thing to do, Tim. Anybody that's, you know, a working member of your group, it's probably good to make them aware of the position task book. And then they can take it on as a personal, you know, choice. That is, you know, do I want to learn about certain things here? And do I want to demonstrate them for others? I've got at least two guys that are saying, you know, I'm reading it and I'm looking at it. I don't know if I'm going to bother with the sign-offs and stuff, but they appreciate the education list. So it's like, okay, I get it. You know, and it depends where everybody is in life, too. Because, you know, these other two fellows, they're pretty senior, and they're just saying, like, yeah, I'll look it over and make sure I'm ready, but I'm not sure I'm chasing, you know, one more thing this year. Is that like you? It's over to you from KD8ZSK.
Yeah, KD4ZYQ in the group. Well, I got a phone call while you were talking there, Tim, and I think I caught part of what you're talking about, what Keith referred to. Yeah, I wish I could be involved in different ways more, or able to, I should say. Not a matter of wanting to as much as being able to add any more to my list. Today was supposed to be some things done, but I had a phone call and a very serious phone call I had to take care of, which I got one response just seconds ago that I couldn't answer because I was on the radio and I let it go to voicemail, but I will be calling them back in a very important phone call. Not real important to have caught it right then, but pretty much important, but not to get into details. But, yeah, I got to call back the phone number here in just a minute. But anyhow, yeah, it's one thing to be retired and also disabled, but when you take care of all your affairs and all the extra that gets added to you due to problems, it gets to be pretty fat. I forgot I even told Keith about something this morning that I talked to him about. I mentioned it today just minutes ago. I forgot I even talked about it, at least to him. Over to you, Tim.
Oh, sure, Joe, I understand about that. Not mentioning anything about that, we do have a few handful of home deploys only, but we don't want to leave you out of the loop. So I was going to go ahead and send you that task book and roster because you are officially on as home deployed only. No obligation of any sort, but if you're interested, at least you can review all the training that we're doing. So when you hear us on the net, you know what we've already done. So you may not have to go over it again because you can see what the training is that we provide the new troops coming on board. And some of the legacy guys, too. And a lot of those guys are training us. So it goes a lot of ways like that. Over to Keith, NAWRO.
All right, guys. I'm just about my destination here. I'm happy to be making my way home. So I'm going to say 7-3. Thanks for the ride-along. Great to hear you, WRO and ZYQ. Good subject for sure. So take care, and I'll be listening out as I park. 7-3 from KD8ZSK.
Hey, Keith, 7-3, and thanks for the ride-along. Enjoyed the QSO and the information and the conversation. And I'll throw it over to Tim. And, yeah, I'll mention something back to you, Tim, when you get back to you there.
Thanks for the QSO, Keith, and I'll try to make the net tonight if conditions permit. And good talking to you as well, Joe. I'll listen out for your final. November 8th, Whiskey Romeo Oscar, after you.
Yeah, a comment to what you mentioned there, to respond to your comment there. Yeah, by all means, anything to know what's going on with a situation or emergency or preparedness or practice or, you know, simulated practice, whatever. Yeah, send anything through the email that you have on file there. And, yeah, I'm not negative or turned off to any kind of information, processes, email information for the whole thing. By no means am I turned off to that. Would definitely welcome it. The knowledge is good. even if you can't use the information totally, it's never bad to have, you can never have too much good knowledge, and I mean that sincerely. So yeah, don't hesitate. You got a green light for that. So by all means, if it's something you guys are doing, activating, using, got to your discretion, different things, I don't mind knowing and being, even if I'm not physically participating, but by all means, you got a green light for that. Back to you from KU4ZYQ.
Sounds good, Joe. You have a good one. And NAWRO.
NAWRO, KE4ZYQ, and thanks for the ride-along also, and thanks for chiming in. Don't ever hesitate, no matter how many people are on frequency that I'm on. Yeah, always good to hear you. Thanks again, and thanks for all you did with the simulated exercise there. KE4ZYQ, clear and listening out.
You call me long-winded.
Well, you know, there's got to be some competition in the world, otherwise you don't improve on what you got and what you can do. KE4ZYQ. Boy, that rhymes. I'm a poet and don't know it.
How's it going, Joe?
I think I get in the habit when I get on the morning brew in the morning there. That's why they call it the morning brew. I have to sign off with thanks for all you do on the morning brew from KE4ZYQ.
Well, there you go. Yeah, I haven't been on the morning brew for a while. I tried getting on this morning and then I missed my calling.
Well, I'm going to get to returning this phone call I missed during our QSO earlier. See if I can get hooked up with whoever called me there. So 7-3 for now. Till next time, if there is a next time, KE4ZYQ clear.
Have a good one, Joe, KCHKJO.
KCHKJO, NAWRO.
NAWRO, KCHKJO. Go ahead, Tim.
You got your DMR with you? I know that's a silly question because you always have it with you. How about statewide one if it's free?
Absolutely. I'll jump over there, KCHKJO.
USY, NAWRO.
KU8RUH. Tom, you're coming in real rough there. I don't know if you're in between repeaters.
Yeah, I was on Warren. I jumped over to Phil before he does the takedown for a bit.
You're coming in much better there. How you doing? You must be on the other side of town if you're over on his machine.
On Telegram, I'm going to go pick up an LTE modem, or, you know, like a puck, a hot, you know, one of those pucks for my SIM card. Guys, you're doing it, guys, so I'm going to go grab it.
Cool. That'll be nice. We'll have a hot spot to ride around town with.
Yeah, for, you know, for my work truck. I mean, I already have a hardwired one, but I want one that's wireless, so I don't gotta, you know, plug a cable into it.
Well, that's cool. Are you, you got all your stops in for the day? You making your way back home, or what?
I went to the office and dropped off two monitors that were worthless. Threw them in the recycle bin. Now they're even more worthless because we broke them. But they're busted anyways. So yeah, so basically done for the day. Got a hold of this guy on Facebook Marketplace. He goes, it's sitting on the porch. Come and get it. I'm like, okay. It's unlocked. So it's a Verizon. I have T-Mobile, but it says that it's unlocked. So meaning it means I can put my T-Mobile chip in it.
Very cool. That'll be nice to have that.
Oh, 100%. That way I can just leave it in the van. And my coworkers next week, we got internet. Don't have to worry about logging onto our phones.
Yep. That'll be good. You'll be able to... Then you can use your phone and everything. I know when I have the hot spot going on my phone starts to get hot. It kills the battery. It's just, it works fine, but, you know, there's a better solution. And it sounds like you found it.
Yeah, I had one at the airport, but I had to leave that one there, you know, because that was, you know, the other guys that worked there. And then they shut that one off and everybody's using their phones, which is kind of crappy. And I have unlimited data on my work phone, but still, it's not the greatest. And sometimes it cuts out and it kills my battery. And it leaves me, you know, without any communication. So getting this hotspot will just one of the problems.
Yep. The only problem with it is it's one more piece of technology. One more thing that needs to be charged, and one more thing you have to maintain. But we already have so many devices, so many things that need to be plugged in, I guess it doesn't really matter.
Exactly, it doesn't cost me a thing for it, so if it dies, it dies. I mean, in the SIM chip, I mean, I've had it for about a year, and I haven't used it. I got one, so I guess the one is in the Medicare hardwired modem, and then getting this one here, this will solve some other problems. You know, and I got unlimited data, so it's not going to cost me anything.
Perfect. Hey, what Motorola mobile were you using that had that IP connect on it?
The XPR4550. And I know, I had the original one that sold me, and then the receivers took a dump on me. And then we searched on, found another one, offered the guy a price, he took it. And then Wally programmed it all with the code plug that he had saved for me, and then I just modified it. Now that I got a cable in the software.
Very cool. Yeah, I was, I came across a 5550 at work, but it's VHF, so it's kind of a bummer, but it looks like a sweet radio.
The 4500 version for VHF that's sitting in a box on the back of the van. I gotta get an antenna for it, and then I'll make that a, like a base or something for just VHF.
Yeah, but there's, if I understand correctly, there's not hardly any, or there isn't any VHF DMR around town.
No, it's all UHF, definitely. So, I would still refurbish the 45, or the 5550. I mean, it's a VHF, clean it up, and you could probably pass it off to somebody as a base for ARPS or something.
Yeah, I'm gonna figure something out with it. I figured, or I'll try to make a trade with somebody for a UHF version or a P25 radio or something like that. I'm gonna make it work.
Well, I know somebody out there is gonna want it.
Absolutely. Hey, I just pulled up at the house. I'm going to get out of the car here and check in and see what's going on. So I will catch up with you maybe tomorrow or later this afternoon. This is K8RUH, and I'll be clear on your final.
Sounds good. Got a message over here to Farmington, and then I got my meeting at 6:30 with the city. So I'm going to take care of that. All right, 73 Anthony. I'll talk to you in a bit. I'll be out here for a while. PCKGO. can't get nowhere in the process.
Next week I will.
You taking a sabbatical from working, I hope?
Yeah, they know I'm going to be laid up for a little bit.
That's one advantage of having a lot of years in it. You got a crap ton of vacation time. I got 5 weeks vacation and 5 sick days, so I take 5 sick days and then I use up all my vacation days. Did that last year and I did that the year before. Got paid all the way through, no short term.
Well, I'm an independent contractor for this company that I work for now. I can basically work when I want to or when they need me. So I kind of set my own hours and time and says, well, what do we got going? You going to need me the next few days? So it's kind of like week by week.
I got you, but still a little bit, nice to relax. If you can, if you have the finances for it, that you can kick back a little bit and actually recover properly.
I don't work for them for the money right now. I work to keep me busy. The money's nice. I mean, gives you a little extra spending money for this hobby, but it's not the reason I do it. So I'm talking on my repeater for probably the last time in a while. It's coming down tomorrow.
Yeah, but she'll be back up when you get ready to put her back up. She's not going away. She's just, like you, going on a sabbatical.
Yeah, both recovering. All right. I got a new toy. I saw on eBay a radio that was pretty much identical to the one I have here in the car that does the other mode, and except it's a 100-watt version, so I'm gonna put that in here in the car, and I'm gonna put the other one in my office.
Well, there you go. Yeah, I got a kind of a new toy too. I got a power supply for home, so I can work on radios and stuff. Living in the trailer, I guess you could say. I think it's a 20-watt power supply I got from Sean in exchange for 2 actual UP pasties in Grady. So I'll have that for a treat. 2 pasties for a power supply.
Oh, there you go. So I just got a power supply for free. It's at work they brought me over and said, is this probably, we found this whole power supply in the back, it's an Astron 11-amp linear. And they said, you know, if it's any good, and I tested it, and said, yeah, it seems to be good. What's, you don't want it? If you don't want it, I'll take it. So I grabbed it.
Well, that'll work good for a mobile base, you know, 11 amp. That should be enough, because what's the most UHF, EHF pull these days? What, 7? So you should be good with some despair.
Well, truthfully, I have too many power supplies. But I figure it never hurts to have an extra one around. So, I mean, most of mine are 20. I mean, the one I have running most of my check is a 35 amp. It runs my HF equipment, not the amp. The amp has its own power supply, but the HF and all my VHF, UHF stuff, mobiles that are in my house, that's running all that. And anything else that needs DC down on the bench. And I got a couple extras, so I think it will could be handy. But the fact that, you know, all these newer power supplies are switching, and, you know, they're like lightweight and small, but sometimes you just need a good linear one.
Oh yeah, get that juice in there. That 11 amp isn't bad at all. I mean, geez, most of my door strikes could probably run off of that. At 12 volts or 13.8, as long as it's regulated, it should work just fine.
Yeah. Oh man, these people are crazy here. What the hell is this guy? Oh man, oh, people are just driving like insane. Maniacs today. Have you noticed that?
In your neck of the woods earlier today, I was in Birmingham. Where did I have to go? Orchard League and Maple, I was there. And then I forgot where else I was. But yeah, I was right around there. And yeah, all the destruction just make people lose their mind.
Okay, you know, that's right where I'm, close to where I'm going to be, a mile away. This guy got a sticker on the back of his car. It says, back off, B-A-C-H. I'm a musician.
Now, there's nothing wrong with a little bit of Bach.
Yeah, I like clever bumper stickers. It's some that are just stupid. Anyways, I'm just about where I'm going, so I just wanted to jump in there. So if you're over on this side of town and try to key up the 2.5, it ain't going to be there after tomorrow morning for a while. So just a warning. Catch you later. K8PR.
Oh, good. I'll just push off of TJ Machine and Sean's over on Warren. We'll give 500 a break for a while. I've used it enough. Kind of surprised it still works with me being on the radio all the time. So, but 73K, and I'll talk to you soon. KJO.
W8FU.
KBB.